But before we get there, I gotta tell you a story. So there's this guy, he's my friend, his name is Nate. Way back, actually, when I started seminary, I started volunteering in a senior high youth group that was right down the road from where I went to school. It was actually where I became the middle school pastor before I moved here. I met this guy, Nate. He was a year ahead of the guys that I led in small groups. So I had a sophomore guys group my first year. Nate was a junior in high school. Nate was this, like, on the surface, just this average guy. Like, you got to know him and you understood that he loved Jesus, he followed Jesus, but he was an athlete and a musician. Like, he played football, he was a really good quarterback, and he loved to play the piano, but he never really played publicly. But these are just things you knew about Nate. Like, he's just kind of your average guy. He wasn't like some standout, good-looking, fashionable dude. He was just average. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. He's just, you see him, you're like, oh, okay. But there was something about Nate that made everybody in my sophomore guys' small group class want to be Nate. Like, they looked up to Nate. And when you looked at Nate, you're like, I don't really get it, but he's a nice guy, so cool. Like, go for it. Be like Nate. But see, the thing about Nate that set him apart from the other junior guys was that he understood what we were here for. Like, he got that life was more than just being happy, and life was more than just saying, like, I get it, I figured it out, we got this. Like, Nate understood that not only was he saved by Jesus, but Jesus was calling him to the best life he could possibly live. And so Nate started to live that out. His sophomore year, so before I knew him, Nate was on a missions trip in downtown Chicago, and he saw a whole bunch of homeless people that were pretty much ignored. Like, when you're walking down the street, you see a homeless person, they ask you for money, and most people just walk by. And, like, for whatever reason, Nate was, like, struck that he wanted to do something to help the homeless people in Chicago. But Nate's a sophomore in high school. Like, what can he do? He didn't even have his driver's license at this point. But Nate said, you know what? Jesus is calling me to make a difference where I am at. Jesus is calling me to do something about the things that he's laid on my heart. And so Nate, as a sophomore in high school, gets a few friends together. Reminder, he's a sophomore in high school. And he's young. He's too young to do these things, right? He gets his friends together. They start planning and brainstorming. And then a few of them get their license. And so their junior year, they launched this thing that they opened up to the whole youth group. And it was really cool. They got together on Wednesdays, right after school, and they made as many sandwiches as they possibly could. So they would take two or three coolers of sandwiches down to inner city Chicago by themselves, get in their car, drive down. They had their parents' permission, but they would go drive downtown, and they would walk up to homeless people, give them a sandwich, and just talk to them. Like, make them feel heard, make them feel like they're part of society, because they are. But we often ignore them because we're not comfortable, or they're not like us. And so, but Nate was burdened by this because he felt like God had changed his life and he needed to live that out. But Nate's only a junior in high school, right? Like, he's too young to make those things. He's too young to make those decisions. Like, he doesn't even have a job. How's he paying for this? Like, God provided for these things because Nate had the faith to step out and do these things. Nate also understood that as a person who's been changed by Jesus, that change should be noticeable. And when he gets together with his youth group, with his small group, like, that's a group of people who are changed by Jesus, a group of people who are living based on the gospel. And they're living in such a way that their love for each other and their love for those around them should impact the world. And they grasped that, and so they used it, and they went and they impacted the world around them as sophomores and juniors in high school. And I think often we chalk up, like, oh, well, when I'm in college, I could probably do something like that. Or when I'm out of school and I have a job, I could do something like that. But here's the thing. God is calling us to live for him right now. Not when we're older, not when we have a job, not when we're done with school. He's calling us to live out this love and this life now. He's calling us to make an impact in our world around us now. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We've looked at us being changed by Jesus. Last week, we talked about us as a group of people who have been changed by Jesus and how we represent the gospel and we should be known for our love for each other. And that change and that love should then work and move in the world around us, and we should have an impact in the world around us. So if you look at our youth group, if you look at our church, anybody who claims to know and follow Jesus, there should be somebody or some people in their life that are changed because they know this person who's following Jesus. We see a really cool example of this in the book of Acts, chapter 2. In verse 41, we're going to read 41 through 47. Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47, as soon as I find it. And so, this is right after Pentecost. Pentecost is this crazy time where Jesus has gone back into heaven, and God the Father and Jesus send the Holy Spirit to the church to give us power and wisdom, help us to understand God's word, to give us gifts to go out and live out the life that he's called us to. And so these things have all happened, right? And this is what Paul writes in Acts. He says in verse 41, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." So 3,000 people came to know Jesus when the Holy Spirit came, right? That's the start of this passage. So, and then in verse 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." So this isn't so much a clear-cut example of people making an impact in the world around them. It is, but this is a great passage that illustrates the last 3 weeks of what we've been talking about. You start with people who are changed by the gospel. So Peter is out preaching the gospel with the apostles. They're telling people about Jesus and their need to turn to Jesus and get forgiven for their sins because we're sinful. We need forgiven. We're broken. And Jesus offers that. Verse 41, "So those who received his word were baptized." So they not only accept that Jesus died for them and accept that forgiveness, they act on it. They go and they get baptized. It's a symbol. Baptism is a symbol. Outwardly, does everybody know what a symbol is? Yeah, okay. Yeah, a sign. Like, a baptism is a sign or a symbol of something that happens inwardly. It's an outward sign of something that happens inwardly. So Jesus, we die with Christ, and we're risen to a new life, made new because we're forgiven. When we're baptized, we're lowered into the water, we die to our old self, we're washed clean as we come up, and we have new life. That's baptism. So these believers, they're not only just saying, yes, I believe this, they're also acting on it. It's changing their lives, right? It's a noticeable change. They're proclaiming publicly that they believe in Jesus and that they intend to live for him. So we see this noticeable change in their lives. Cool? We talked about that 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Right? Then look what happens. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. So they're gathering together. They're talking about Jesus' teaching in word. They're looking at the Old Testament and seeing how Jesus is fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament, and they're assuring themselves and encouraging each other that Jesus is in fact the Son of God. He is in fact the conquering Messiah. He is in fact the one that forgives our sins. And they're doing this together to encourage each other. But they don't stop at just gathering together and encouraging each other. They eat together. And then, this is kind of crazy, "and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing all the proceeds to all as any had need." They were giving of themselves and of their possessions to love those around them, to love those who were part of the group. That love that we talked about, last week we talked about how we're supposed to be known by our love. You guys remember that? We're known by our love, right? This is them living it out. They love each other to the point that they see somebody that has a need and they're like, oh, well, I can meet that need if I sell this extra whatever. And they get rid of that because they don't need that, but somebody else has a need. They're caring for one another. They're praying together. They're eating together, meaning they know each other. Like, it's awkward if you just go have meals with people you don't know. This is why it's weird to sit with people you don't know at lunch, right? But you really get to know people if you sit and you eat with them because you're kind of forced to have a conversation. And it's a really cool thing. And that's all that Paul is explaining here. Is, hey, these guys actually, these families are actually acting like a family. They're caring for one another. They're loving for one another. All because they were changed by Jesus Christ. But here's the thing that we're talking about today. At the end, day by day, they attended temple together, breaking bread in their homes, so eating and talking about the word, they received food with gladness and hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. Meaning, they were also loving those around them, not just the people in their church. They were loving people around them, because if they weren't loving people around them, they probably wouldn't have favor with all people. Favor simply means people liked them and treated them kindly, right? So they have favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They had an impact on the world around them. The way that they lived solo, individually, the way that they lived together, and the way that they treated people outside of their group and faith system impacted the world in such a way that the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They were literally living out the faith in which Jesus had taught the apostles. The apostles are teaching those people. Those people start teaching other people. And you can continue that trend the whole way to us today. It's pretty amazing. All because somebody was changed by Jesus. And that person decided not to just sit on their knowledge, not to just look at a homeless problem and ignore it like we all easily do. I'm guilty of that. Like, how many of you guys, I think we all do it, but like, there's something that you know you should do that God has laid on your heart. Like, maybe it's sitting down with somebody at lunch because they're sitting by themselves. Maybe it's helping somebody pick up books when they drop it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's putting your hands up during worship, but we always find a way to like justify not doing it because we're a little uncomfortable and we don't want to do it. Has anybody ever experienced that? I do almost probably every day, right? And part of this following Jesus thing is encouraging each other to take those steps of faith, but part of it is saying, you know what, Jesus changed me and I need to live that changed life. And when we live that changed life, our group here changes. The love that we develop for one another is so incredible that people see that and say, I want part of that. How in the world can you guys live like that? And you start to impact the world around you. Right? So as followers of Christ, we are called to impact the world around us. As the body of Christ, we must impact the world around us. All right? So as followers of Christ, individually, we are called to impact the world around us. As a group of people changed by Jesus Christ, our love for one another, our love for others, has to impact the world around us. Cool? Let's pray. God, thank you that we can gather together today. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for changing our hearts to be more like you, for forgiving our sins when we don't deserve it. Thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. God, we pray that as we walk out from here, we would be aware of the ways that you have changed our lives. I pray that you would help us to be aware of our need and call to love on each other in this room so radically different than the world tells us what love is. The people see us and want to be part of this. God, I pray that you would help us to impact the world around us, both when we're by ourselves and also when we are together as a group of people representing the body of Christ. And go before us this week. Lead us and guide us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thanks for being here. If you have any questions, come see me. Otherwise, I'll see you tonight at Snack. Snack, 6 p.m. Put your chairs along the back wall, please. Thank you.
think I came because I forgot it was today. There's like so almost every time last year I forgot about it and would like either like
the I got here this morning and realized that I never went to the store.
Oh.
Fortunately, just.